Supreme Street Team. including fans.
Good morning to everyone, and by giving my usual introduction, you see, music is like poetry and has message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can comprehend like definitions, and news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking each and every one of you in the listening audience to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our quest moment where we attempt to make way in deep vibration. So, thank you for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, this week, our Diamonds and Definition segment will be presented by our student hosts, Walter Pierce and Justin Hill. They will be presenting segments on Sidney Poitier and Thurgood Marshall. Defining words, donate, and integration to help us have a deeper meaning. And for curtains, Patty Austin, the American singer and songwriter. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to bring in Walter Pierce. Walter and Justin, good morning, guys.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay. All right. There we go. Now, take it away. Walter, you first.
Yes. And see, history is like a diamond. Each person represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of the ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Now, again, my diamond segment for this week is on Sidney Poitier. And see, Sidney Poitier was born February 20th, 1927 in Florida. In the age of Spike Lee's retrospectives, Denzel Washington's blockbusters, and Magic Johnson's multiplexes, it is perhaps easy to forget the pioneering impact Sidney Poitier's career had on the American culture. For 20 years, beginning in the early 50s, he was the top and virtually sole African-American film star, the first black actor to become a hero to both black and white audiences. Poitier was also the first black actor to win a prestigious international film award, Venice Film Festival, Something to Value, in 1957. The first to be nominated for a Best Actor Academy Award, the Defiant Ones, in 1958. And the first to star as a romantic lead, Paris Blues, in 1961. The first to win an Oscar, Lyles of Field, in 1953. The first to become the number one box office star in the country, in 1968. and the first to insist on a film crew that was at least 50% African-American for The Lost Ones in 1969. Poitier also starred in the first mainstream movie to condone interracial marriages and permit a mixed couple to hug and kiss guests who's coming to dinner in 1967. And to attack a party, the Wilby conspiracy in 1975. The New York Times' Vincent Canby once pointed out, Poitier does not make movies, he makes milestones. His parents were poor tomato farmers in the Bahamas. He was their seventh and last child. The family struggles hammered home a lesson that he will always live by. Survival requires everybody to carry a load. In fact, by the age of 13, he was working full time to support his family. At age 16, he arrived in New York City, totally alone, with $3 in his pocket. In order to escape the cold, he lied about his age and joined the army. It was a short stint that lasted less than a year. Back in New York, he got a job as a dishwasher and stumbled into acting. While looking for a second job to make ends meet, he came across an ad calling for actors. Without any experience or training, he was barely able to read. He auditioned for the American Negro Theater. He was humiliated off the stage, but 6 months later, better prepared, he auditioned again. His first production, Days of Our Youth, led to nearly 10 more with the company, a national tour of Anna Lucasta in 1944, and 2 years later, at the age of 22, his first film, No Way Out, directed by Joseph L. Mankiewicz. It launched the career that, in the words of the great Harry Belafonte, put the cinema and millions of people in the world in touch with the truth about who we are. A truth that could have for a longer time eluded us. It had not been for him and the choices that he had made. In such landmark films such as Cries of Beloved, Blackbird Jungle, Raised in the Sun, which he was instrumental in bringing to the stage and film. You know, just a lot of different other movies he participated in, and the impact that he left on society will always be remembered. And sadly, recently, Sidney Poitier has actually passed away. So that concludes my segment on Sidney Poitier. Again, you are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU with student host Walter Pierce.
Come on.
Okay, you've just got finished listening to the sounds of Quincy Jones featuring Patty Austin, who is, in fact, our curtains for today. And the title of that song was Turn On the Action. Okay, so now without any further ado, Justin, good morning again. Take it away.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Yes, I can hear you. Good morning.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. For my segment today, it will be on Thurgood Marshall. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, you are bound to find yourself. Thurgood Marshall was born July 2nd, 1908, and died January 24th, 1993. Marshall was an American lawyer and civil rights activist who served as the Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States from October 1967 until October 1991. He became the first African American Supreme Court Justice in America. Marshall used his position to fight against segregation. Thurgood Marshall actually has tons of schools named after him, one being in Irvington, New Jersey. And Thurgood Marshall has a movie named after him as well. He is played by the late Chadwick Boseman, who he highlighted on a previous show. And that concludes my segment on Thurgood Marshall.
Okay. Thank you. Great job. Now, before we go any further back into music, I want to introduce our panelists who are on the line, starting with Tanisha Gardner. Tanisha, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay.
Okay, so, yeah, what, that's good. What do you think about Sidney Poitier's As a Diamond for this morning, and who just finished Justin Hill, Thurgood Marshall? Which one would you like to comment on first?
I guess I could do Sidney Poitier first, because Sidney Poitier opened a lot of doors, you know, for future actors to be in the position that they're in, and especially to make the money that they're making. And I just want to point out a part with Sidney Poitier, that he actually was at the march of, you know, 1963, the famous march, the March on Washington about jobs and freedom, where Dr. Martin Luther King spoke, you know, the favorite speech. And I think that's very important to see that how they still fight on many levels. One, he was fighting for, you know, the civil liberties, and also fighting within the structure of racism through movies. And I think that's very important, especially to this day now. How do we tell our stories, and how do we show a next generation that they can create change? And for Thurgood Marshall, it was very important, because it's sad that we're still dealing with some of the situations that he fought for, like, for example, with Brown versus Board of Education, and how they say we're supposed to be separate, you know, separate but equal, and it's still, right now to this day, it's not, you know, you can look at our school system and how disproportionately that we lack resources within the education system, and especially it's still segregation, because the majority of the schools in Newark are either African American or Spanish, and we still lacking, you know, some of the, you know, some of the technologies, or even when it comes to education, we're not getting our proper education, and it's something that we have to look into and definitely do a better job and put more pressure on it and be able to take our power back in our own hands. So that's what I gather from both of them.
Wow. Well, you gathered a lot, and that's pretty good and in depth. And I thank you so much, and good morning again. Without any further ado, Mr. Harris, it seems like you got a lot going on in your background because I hear feedback. So you must have a lot to say. So take it away, brother.
Yeah, first thing, good morning. And the two people that they chose today, they were really had a lot in common. You know, Sidney Poitier was, as far as an actor, everybody kind of takes that for granted. Okay, all right, well, he was good on that area. But between him and Harry Belafonte, they were really instrumental in a lot of the civil rights movements. As a matter of fact, he and Harry Belafonte were instrumental in getting that March on Washington, like, organized and get it together, him and A. Philip Randolph. And it was because of the type of reforms and stuff that came from the March on Washington, the Civil Rights Bill, the Voting Rights Bill, that Thurgood Marshall was able to become the first black Supreme Court justice, associate justice, you know, and all these things are connected, you know, and even with Thurgood Marshall, he went really back, like Tanisha was talking about the Brown versus Board of Education. And like she said, we still have an issue as far as education. They said, okay, we'll say that separate but equal is not constitutional, but we'll base all of our education on home ownership, knowing that in certain urban areas and stuff, a lot of the people from those areas don't own their homes. They're renters. So the kind types of monies and stuff that will be available to go into the school system are not available because the people who own the houses don't live there. You know, and it was very important. You know, it was good to hear about both of them.
Okay. I want to swing back to Walter. Walter, I know you have a little you've done research on Thurgood Marshall in the past, and you know a little bit about him. So I want to give you an opportunity to make a comment or, right, continue on to the next segment of definition. So you can do both or one or the other. It's on you. Take it away, Walter. Good morning again.
Yeah, good morning. And, you know, somebody like Thurgood Marshall, again, he also is another pioneer for what he has done in the justice system and for people of color in this country. And, you know, that's how you could compare the both of Sidney Poitier and Thurgood Marshall, because they both started something that a lot of people followed and, you know, gave a lot of opportunities, people that look like us in the field of acting and also the justice system and having a voice, you know, in the country. So, again, also one more thing I do want to point out is Sidney Poitier played Thurgood Marshall in actually one of the movies that he has been in. So that is actually something that is really cool. But besides that, I want to transition on to my next segment of today, which is definitions. And see, this segment provides the listener with words and meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for this week is donate. And donate is to give money for a good cause. An example would be charity. And again, what I do every week on the show is try to provide financial literacy terms or just words that deal with finance or money. So basically, I bring up donate because I've been seeing a lot of people really doing, a lot of people who already have money and have that success donating and giving money to a lot of different foundations and a lot of people. An example I've seen was Shaquille O'Neal recently. And what he says is, you know, he has been going lately into different stores and been looking for, you know, single mothers who are trying to provide different things for their children, electronics or just simple basic needs. And what he says is he went into a Best Buy and seen a mother who was really struggling, you know, financially to pay pay for the laptops for her children. She tried to get laptops for each of her children. And I believe it was like 300 each laptop. And, you know, what Shaquille O'Neal seen is, you know, he seen an opportunity that he could help her out. And what he said is $1,500 is not a lot of money to him, but that could change the life of another person and really benefit another person. So he says it's his due diligence to be able to step in, help out, and give the money to for the children so that they could get the laptops. People try to, like, deny and not accept it, but what he says is he does it because his mom tells him to do it. So really, you know, in summary, what might not seem like a lot to you might be a lot for another person. So anything that, you know, you could get easy and you see that you could probably give to another person that could help their life, you should probably do that because, you know, it's a lot of people out here that need that assistance. And it's also a lot of people out here who have the available things at their disposal to be able to give to another person. So if you see something like that, you know, you should try to help out as well. And just take an example of what Shaquille O'Neal did. I'm not saying give as much as what he has. Just help out a person who is in less and bigger need than you are, in summary. So, again, thank you for listening. This is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
I remember house before it was called house. I remember house when house respected house. I remember house when house grew from the roots of house. I remember house when house was soul music and R&B before house was disco. Before house was disco. I remember house before the super clubs. I remember house when people knew the lyrics of house. I remember house before record labels sold the house. I remember house when house was about love. House was about love. I remember house. I remember house when house respected house. I remember house when house grew from the roots of house. I remember house when house was soul music and R&B. Before house was disco. Before house was disco. I remember house before the super club. I remember house when people knew the lyrics of house. I remember house before record labels sold the house. I remember house when house was about love. House was about love. House was about love. I remember house.
Do you remember house? 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 Do you remember house?
I have to admit, I am old school hip-hop head. And so earlier when I played the world-famous Supreme Team, Michael McLaren, I want to thank Mr. Harris for that selection and also for this one, which I hadn't ever heard before.
Right.
Do you remember house? Of course. And so getting back to what Walter was saying when he did the word, defining the word, looking deeper into the definition of the word donate, you know, why not? Because he did mention, you know, you might not have a lot of money to give someone, but I just want to give a little bit more insight going deeper,
right?
You know, why not donate a smile to someone, a total stranger, you know, instead of mean mother? It's kind of rough out here nowadays, and if you can just donate a smile, a friendly gesture, or just a positive vibe, that could go a long way in the form of a donation to help someone who might not be feeling that happy nowadays. And Lord knows, you know, we have so much to be depressed about, right? Anyway, good morning again, Justin. Justin, it's time for your segment of definition, so take it away.
Good morning, everybody. For my definition segment, it will be on the word integration. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis that we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Integration is the most general sense maybe it means bringing together and uniting, mixing of people by race. Many African American civil rights leaders fought to integrate schools, bathrooms, and other public places to end discrimination, and so that Black people can no longer be treated as second class citizens in America. In my opinion, I think that integration is a good idea for a student to work. And why a student to work is because there are like Black rich people, but a lot of stores are like owned by white people and not Black people. And that concludes my segment on integration. Justin Hill on WSLU.
Okay. I'm going to go straight to Mr. Harris on this one. We have the word donate, and we have the word integration. So I find it quite interesting to see what you have thoughts about, comments Take it away, Mr. Harrison. Good morning again.
Yes. As far as it comes to, like, donate, just like you had kind of expounded on it a little bit more, that sometimes a donation isn't financial. And, you know, and that might come to carry a person a lot further through the day than monetary gain would. And, you know, and when it comes to integration, it's important before you integrate that you know who you are. So when you do integrate, you don't lose the essence of what you bring to the table and get caught up into the whole melting pot. So integration is a good thing as long as everybody who's integrating knows who they were before they integrated. I don't know whether that was a twist to the other way, but it's important to know who you are. And that importance and stuff is what you bring that makes the integration more positive because you're bringing something that's helping to uplift the whole group. But if you don't know who you are or what you're bringing to the table, you will just get diluted into everybody else's culture. And I think that's part of the issue that we're having with integration today.
You're being nice. No cream in my coffee? Tanisha, pardon my sarcasm, but I couldn't resist. Tanisha, the word donate and integration, a comment, take it away, and good morning again.
Good morning. I guess I would say integration and donate. I guess when it came to the history of America, how they donated disease, war, and famine, and taking people land, and then you say integration, it's not integration when you hurt someone or you take away somebody's rights, when you take away somebody's freedoms. So right, with donation and integrate in a system that was created to hurt people, it will never be equal. The only way it will be equal, if, like you said, if you have your dignity and your respect as a human being and they have a right to create what they need and make, then it would be a change. Then integration would be good. But now, no, it's not. One, we didn't even get our reparations, so how can we integrate in a system that doesn't even care about us enough to want to create a change? Especially I want to talk about the city of Newark, and it talks about integration. When you look at the majority of the citizens are African-American and Spanish, and they keep dumping on us. For example, in the East Ward, we have different industries that are polluting, and they actually want to build another power plant in the city, and they want to talk about integration, but you don't put that in a suburban area, so it will never be equal.
All right. Okay, so no cream in my coffee, definitely. More than a joke, definitely serious, and I must say right on point, right? At this time, I want to continue, and I'm going to do what I've been doing, and I'm going to present a fable. How about that, everybody? It's time for another Aesop fable, and this one is titled The Donkey, the Fox, and the Lion, right? And I'm not going to give the answer, but I want to say to everyone, there are no wrong answers. It seems that a donkey and a fox, having entered into a partnership together for their mutual protection, went out into the forest to hunt. Now, they had not proceeded far when they met upon a lion. Now, the fox, seeing imminent danger, approached the lion and promised to contrive for him. That means he promised to work with him, right, to capture the donkey. Now, if the lion would pledge his word not to harm the fox, then upon assuring donkey he would not be injured, the fox led him to a deep pit and arranged that he should fall into it. Now, let me tell you what happened here. The lion, seeing that the donkey was secured in the hole in the pit, immediately clutched the fox and attacked the donkey at his leisure. at his will. Whenever he felt like it, the donkey was there, not going anywhere, but he grabbed a hold of that fox. So I'm going to start with Walter. I'm going to start with you. What do you think the moral of this particular, what is the lesson here that we should learn?
To be honest, I need you to probably repeat that and or simplify it one more time because I'm still trying to.
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you the short version. You have a donkey and a fox, and they're walking in. They're going to go out into the forest, and they're going to do a little hunting so they can get some food on, get their eat on. They run into a lion. The fox says, hey, listen to the lion. I'm going to help you capture the donkey, okay? But you have to pledge not to eat me, okay? So the lion says, sure, no problem. The fox turns to the lion. The lion grabs him. Now, the donkey is in a pit, can't move, can't go nowhere, right? So, you know, the end of the story is the lion has the fox and the donkey. So what do you think the lesson here is?
Okay, so, yeah, what I get from this is really, you know, somebody who is backstabbing a person that is trying to help them. And really, people should not be doing stuff like that. Like, why would you just backstab and completely turn on somebody who's obviously trying to help you get to a certain point? And then once you get to that certain point, it's like you just turn on them. So I guess the moral is you can't trust everybody that you're around. You got to make sure you know the people that you're putting yourself around, because if you help the wrong person, it could hurt you.
Okay. I'm going to go straight to Tanisha. Tanisha, you're on. What do you think the moral is here?
You also hit it right on the nail. First of all, it was the donkey and the fox, and they could have got away, but or they could have helped each other. They could have trapped the lion in the hole if they worked together. But I guess I get two scenarios from it. If he could have negotiated his way out of it for none of them to get attacked, they all would have walked away, and everybody would have still been alive. Or like you say, or they could have just worked together as a team and protected themselves, and at the end of the day, they could still walk away. Like you said, you got to be careful who you have in your circle because everybody's not your friend.
Okay. Justin, you don't get off the hook. What do you think the moral of this particular story is?
I think the moral of the story is that, well, I agree with Walter because, you know, you got to, like, pick who you talk to wisely, because you don't know if they can hurt you or not. You don't know if they're, like, choosing you.
Okay. Mr. Harris?
Yeah, well, I look at it as sometimes you can outflick yourself. You know, the fox was with the donkey to start with, and they made original pack. And then when the fox flipped and said, went on the lion's side, you know, he was like, yeah, man, you know, we could do this, we can get this guy. And the lion was like, yo, in his mind, he's like, I really want both of y'all, man. What's the matter with you? What do you think, I just want the donkey? So the fox put himself in a position where he couldn't back out. And you get what you sow.
Okay. And just so you know, the moral of this particular story, and I want to say to everyone, you're all absolutely correct, never trust your enemy. I'm going to say it again. Never trust your enemy. All right? So now, that being said, I want to take the moment to say we are not enemies here. We're all family, right? And for anyone who might be within my listening voice to be able to hear, people are suffering and people do need help from drug dependency to depression. We're living in dire times, right? And that being said, I want to give out the 1-800-662-HELP phone number for 24-hour, every day of the week, 7 days a week, a hotline that you can call to get assistance just to have someone to speak to. Now, that number again is 1-800-662-4357. And just so you can remember, that's 1-800-662-HELP. 1-800-662-4357. And now it's time for our next segment of Curtains. And so, Walter, get ready as I your introduction for you. All right? Are you ready, Walter? Yeah, I'm ready. Oh, that's not Walter. Walter, yeah, I couldn't help it myself, Walter. You know how I get. All right, it's time for Curtains, everyone. In all seriousness, this is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtains of the stage. You see, many times I've been working with young people, as it doesn't say this on the paper, right? But they have decided that they wanted to highlight a particular artist who might be making a lot of money from the community, but is not giving back. And so this is the segment, Justin and Walter, where we look at a particular artist to see what they've given back to the community, because that is important for someone who has gained so much should be able to return, like you even said in your segment. So Curtains is a review and a musical growth of and history and the impact of a particular style and genius of the general moods and attitude. But I think I said enough, and I've gotten the point across. So without any further ado, I hand it over to you. Walter Pierce, take it away.
Thank you. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, Patty Austin, who is my current segment for this week, and her foundation that she helped found with Dawn Carroll, who is an award-winning designer and writer. And the foundation is called Over My Shoulder. And see, Over My Shoulder Foundation is a unique media-based project whose goal is to raise awareness of the impact of mentoring both cross-culturally and cross-generationally. They celebrate mentoring world, sharing vibrant stories that nominate, reward, and celebrate mentors and mentees. Collecting great stories of mentoring allows their creative team to produce events that spread the gospel of mentoring. Past events such as MIDI's, Designing for the Next Generation, and the upcoming documentary, Over My Shoulder, are designed to create a great sense of connectedness in those who feel disenfranchised and connect those and heal broken spirits. Mentoring inspires creativity and creates minds that provide the answers to the many problems we face in this world. Without support and emotional substance, without a positive influence in our lives, we become lost, disconnected individuals, and as a society. Proper mentoring is the miracle that fosters creativity, reconnects the disconnected, can change lives, and move us towards a greater society, inclusion, integrity, and value. And that is a quote from the co-founder, Dawn Carroll. And something from Patty Austin is, she says, their goal is to break down the barriers that separate generations of people and cultures. Throughout mentoring, we are increasingly interdependent on each other, rather than independent individuals. And because of people's interdependency, the foundation hopes. And that is something from Patty Austin. So, you know, you could just go on overmyshoulderfoundation.org to get more information about, you know, what they do and how they try to make a change. And, you know, you love to see just people who don't only worry about their musical and their talent, but also use that and use the wealth and the fame that they gain from that and put it on to helping others. That is just a great thing to see. And shout out Patty Austin for this foundation. And that concludes what I have for Curtains. This is 89.5 WSOU,
with student host Walter Pierce.
Right, everyone. You know, I've enjoyed every moment of this particular podcast/broadcast. It's been definitely a lot of fun for me this morning. And
I want to bring in
Mr. Harris, who is someone who I refer to as our musical director. Right? He gives us a direction on which way to go musically. I want you to talk about Patty Austin. I want to ask you, and why... You know, like a lot of people nowadays don't know who she is. Talk about her development, anything that you know, and the fact that she worked with Quincy Jones.
Good morning again.
How you doing, Harris? Take it away.
Yeah, and the fact that she has worked with Quincy Jones, who really is a real barometer for talent. You know, she's been with Quincy Jones on most of her life. And, you know, and... She has a wonderful voice. She has been doing this for, I don't want to age her, but she's been like over 40 years. She's been at the top of her game. You know, most of the stuff she does solo are like ballad type, you know, situations. But when she gets with Quincy, she can really swing. And, you know, and between her and James Ingram,
they were like the foundation for most of the vocals for Quincy Jones records. You know,
okay.
and it's a lot, but she's one of those that are behind the scenes but are up front at the same time.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that informative education about Patty Austin. I want to bring in one of our number one fans, right? What's going on? 6778, Happy New Year, good morning. Any comment about today's program?
Happy New Year, everyone. Good morning. Great show, guys. You keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you so much. And we want to bring in our next number one fan, 7035. Val, good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And great show. Sydney Poitier, my favorite movie, To Serve with Love. Great show. I enjoyed it as always. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your comment. Tanisha Gardner, what do you think about today's show?
Yeah, it was a great show.
How'd you like the music?
The music was really good. Some of the songs I never heard of, so it was something new for me.
Okay. All right. And Justin, what did you think about today's show, being the youngest person in the room right now?
I think the show was great today. I learned about Patty Austin and a lot of new things.
Okay. That's what it's about. We're all learning, Justin. So there's nothing to be ashamed about there. Walter, take it away, my brother.
I thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Class Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Quest Youth Radio is the best.
Everybody.
The best youth radio.
Yeah, and so we're going to send our audience off with a little bit of Razzmatazz. Check it out. See ya. Thank you very much for tuning in for another edition of Quest Youth Radio.